As a working capital provider, that was a painful lesson to learn. Probably should have done a better job of predicting that.
Your biggest competitor is a chaos inside your business.
We're not here to throw big revenue numbers on the board. We're here to make a profitable business.
This conversation will show you what's possible with technology and automation.
You know, startups are experiments.
Finally start working for you, not against you.
He's like, oh crap, I can do this in a fraction of the time and still charge my same rate. Yay.
This is AI and Marketing for Home Service Pros, the show for contractors who want to grow without wasting time or money. If you're in roofing, HVAC, plumbing, or any home service business, we break down how AI and modern marketing can help you book more jobs, close more leads, and build a business that runs without babysitting every task.
Most contractors think their biggest competitor is a company down the street. But today's guest, that's wrong. Your biggest competitor is a chaos inside your business. I'm joined today by Matt Fruch, Navy veteran, roofing contractor, and now founder of Capout AI, a tech company built to give contractors back the most valuable asset, time. Matt spent 15 years in roofing before raising $20 million to build his first startup, SquareDash. When that company failed, he discovered something every contractor should hear. The real profit killer isn't slow insurance checks or lack of leads. It's the messy manual systems that waste hours and delay jobs. In this episode, Matt shares the lessons learned from that failure and how they led him to create Capout AI, a tool that instantly converts complex insurance claims into material orders, bid requests, and profitability insights in seconds. We talk about why contractors lose more money to inefficiency than competition, how to get your team to actually adopt AI, and why the next generation of CRMs will look nothing like what you're using today. If you ever felt buried in spreadsheets, chasing down supplements, or losing hours to job costing chaos, this conversation will show you what's possible when technology and automation finally start working for you, not against you. Welcome, everybody. This is Mauricio Cardinal with Contractor Marketing Pros, and welcome to the AI and Marketing Home Services Show. I'm super excited here to have Matt Fruge from Capout AI, and I'm excited to have speak to him and talk about his story, the lessons he's learned from raising $20 million, and really just some of the new tech stuff that he's building out. Really, really excited to talk to you. Welcome to the show.
Thanks. Thanks for having me. Happy to be here.
Yeah, for sure. For sure. Wanted to just get started with this. I know you've been in this business for a long time. You experiences, you know, wins and failures. Can you share like some of your story from the beginning where you raised, you know, you have a business for 15 years and then you raised $20 million and that didn't go up well. Can you start with that?
Yeah, for sure. So grew up in the trades. My dad was a concrete contractor down in Southeast Texas. Somehow found my way into roofing in the 2008, 2009 timeframe. Did that for a couple of years and started my own company in 2010 here in the Dallas-Fort Worth area. And just did that for, close to a decade. Solely focused on insurance claims. Realized there were some, kind of structural problems with particularly around cash flow and, how long it takes to get paid and just the collections process and all that stuff. So decided to start a tech company in 2019 is when we incorporated, kind of tinkered around with it for a couple of years inside my roofing company. And then, kind of went out and wanted to bring it to market. It's called SquareDash. And it was a working capital platform that aimed to fund contractors on approved insurance claims. And yeah, like you mentioned, we raised a bunch of money for that. It was a mix of equity and debt. Most of that $20 million was debt, a debt facility to purchase these receivables from contractors. About $15 million of that was. The rest has been equity. And yeah, we did that for a few years, and it didn't, we never could make it a sustainable business just because of all of the complexities and just what was required from a risk management standpoint to purchase these receivables. And then we had to get into the managed billing services aspect of that, where we kind of became the accounts receivable department for contractors. It was never really what we intended to do, but it was where our customers kind of pulled us and where we saw from a risk management standpoint that we had to go. And it was just a different business and trying to do those two at the same time. It just, it was very complex, and we decided to pivot and go a different direction earlier this year. And we were able to kind of look into the business and see what intellectual property and tech we had that we could maybe spin into something new. And we talked to a bunch of contractors Did a bunch of surveys and market research and realized that, there were some areas upstream in the workflow, particularly in the production department, that could utilize some of the same technology. So that's kind of what led us to pivot into building CapOut. So
awesome. Awesome. What are some of the biggest lessons you learned from Square Dash, and what worked, what didn't, and what do you think, how do you think contractors should be adopting technology?
Yeah, that's a great question. So we worked with hundreds of contractors across the country. So, you know, I think we were in 18 different states. So had a good mix, good diverse mix of contractors. But, you know, something we kind of noticed in all of them is that the messy internal processes in the back end of the business, not the sales and marketing, not the knocking doors and the adjuster appointments and the supplements and all that stuff, it was all the stuff that happened after you sold the job is really where contractors fall apart. And for us as a working capital provider, that was a painful lesson to learn. Probably should have done a better job of predicting that, but startups are experiments. And so, I think contractors focus a lot on the front end of the business, on getting more customers, because it's a one and done kind of relationship with these property owners. It's not something you can turn into recurring revenue very easily. And so they focus on that a lot. And, you know, what we saw was a lot of times when contractors had cash flow issues, it wasn't because there was a holdup at the insurance carrier or the mortgage company. I mean, certainly that plays into it. A lot of times it was because they waited 3 weeks to schedule the gutters after the roof was done, or, you know, there was some Mickey Mouse, you know, interior drywall patch that never got done. And that's why the homeowner was holding a $5,000 check from them. And it was a $500, you know, patch job. And we started to see this repeating kind of pattern in the business of being able to orchestrate and kind of coordinate and build those systems and processes out. So I would say, you know, any kind of technology that allows you to build processes and systems easier that are custom tailored to how you do things, I think is where contractors should really kind of dig into and invest, because I think, a lot of the solutions out there, a lot of the CRMs and whatnot, they give you some configuration abilities, but they don't actually do the work, right? They just give you a different container to kind of hold all the data in. And so I think contractors have lots of options available to them to kind of try and automate as much of the actual human work as possible, or cut it out altogether.
And you said the biggest challenge wasn't the actual technology, but it was actually change management, right? It was actually getting contractors to adapt, right, to change with the actual product they're using. What do you think? What do you think that was the reason that was the biggest challenge?
You know, as a contractor myself, especially as you're growing, right? You start out as a one man show, maybe a two man show. You do that until you get to a certain level, and you hire some salespeople, and you maybe hire some back office people. But you're always focused on getting more customers, right? Like I said, it's kind of a one and done relationship with your customers, which is really challenging, because you get one shot to keep them as a customer. So I see a lot of contractors going through the $2, $3, $4, $5 million bands, still wearing a lot of hats in the company. And it's really not until you get to that $6, $7, $8, $10 million range that those types of ideals and those types of systems and processes completely shatter and break and will kill your business. And that's why a lot of contractors die in that $5 to $10 million range. And so I think from a change management standpoint, that really, you know, it's hard, right? You're focused on running your business, and you're focused on getting more customers, and you're focused on taking care of your employees and how to grow the business. And once you kind of get a tech stack and a tool set inside your business, it can be a very daunting and scary thing to say, oh man, we're gonna just like rip and replace and just do this whole overhaul thing. It's much easier when you're smaller to kind of set it, but it's harder when you get bigger. And so I think that's probably why we saw a lot of resistance to how we had to do things with Square Dash.
Yeah, and that we experienced the same challenge with a lot of contractors, right? Understanding that basically, like, the model, even though it's an agency model, right, we use service clients, it's a recurring business model. The issue is that a lot of contractors don't want to really understand how kind of digital marketing works, right? And how to manage accounts, right? How to manage campaigns. So it's very similar. Like, I'm learning actually from software companies, because software companies they have an internal customer journey, right? Not talking about the actual client, whether from the sales aspect, but the actual entire customer journey from adoption, right? From actually onboarding, right? Which is a long, should be a long process, to adoption, to eventually becoming an advocate of your business, right? And that's kind of the thing that we're kind of implementing right now for our company, because we thought like the product was actually good enough, right? Like you're probably the same thing. Your product is good enough. It solves a problem. Things, same thing with us. Our services solve that problem. The issue is that is getting client contractors, right? And most business owners to adapt, right? To adapt, the change manager. So that's what you're exactly what you're saying, right? And it's building those processes is very challenging, right? So that's the thing you have to, like, you have to worry about is if you're even if you're a tech company, the tech is not really worth a lot unless you actually get your customers to adapt, right? To actually adopt the technology, right?
Yeah. I mean, to put it into, you know, simple terms is, you know, nail guns, right? Like it's just simple tooling. That's all we're talking about. And so, you know, if you got a guy that's used to hand nailing everything and you put a nail gun in front of him, he's probably going to be pretty resistant to it until there's some click in his head, right? And so it's the same kind of thing. There might be a better tool, better mousetrap out there for you to use in your business. But if you're not open to it, if you're not prepared to pick up the nail gun and learn how to use it, then, you know, you're just going to continue down the same path.
How do you think they can adapt? Like, what do you think they can do in their business to become more efficient?
I think you have to be a student, right? Like you have to be a forever student and just always want to learn about different things out there. Learning about things doesn't mean that you have to implement them. It doesn't mean that you have to get distracted by them. It just means that you can kind of have awareness. Because then if you have awareness and you're educated to some degree, you can go hire someone to come in your business, maybe on a part-time, you know, contractor type basis, to come in and set up some of these systems to automate your business. Because the last thing a roofing company owner has time to do if they're busy is build out a tech stack and an automation pipeline. It's a pretty big thing. So I would say start with education, right? Start with education and then seek out other experts that can help you, you know, implement that.
Use ChatGPT to learn.
Yeah, you can use ChatGPT, right? You can get I use it on a daily basis. I use a combination of tools and agents and language models to help us do all.
We're gonna get into that. We're gonna get into that in a second. But yeah, for sure, that's the thing. Like that's the wonderful thing about, you can start using that to learn yourself. I mean, just type it in yourself and asking the questions. It's a great thing. What do you think most contractors are losing time and money inside their business?
Yeah, I think where contractors lose time is, you're probably trying to do everything themselves. I think that, you know, not delegating soon enough is probably something that a lot of entrepreneurs suffer from, because they're just wear all the hats type of people. And so I think getting the right people in your organization, delegating the right things to them, having a clear roadmap on where you want to go as a company. You know, it's like anything, right? You have to start with good planning, good strategy. Then you kind of fill it out from there. So, yeah, I mean, we could probably sit here all day and try and figure out where contractors are losing time. But you know, time is kind of your most valuable, asset. And so every repetitive task that you can automate, I think frees you up to do more of what you're good at, right? Which is typically selling roofs, or organizing sales teams, or whatever it is you enjoy doing in the business. All of the back office mundane tasks that you typically have to hire people to delegate to, those are things that you should really look at, you know, automating as fast as possible. And, you know, tools like CapOut will help you do that.
For sure, for sure. And we'll get into it right now. So how did the challenge you saw in SquareDash lead you to create CapOut?
Yeah, so we got a patent on some technology, some document processing technology that allowed us to extract and restructure all of the line item data from an Xactimate and Simbility estimate, really kind of any insurance PDF. And we used that for underwriting purposes in SquareDash to know what was on the claim and the economics of the claim and all the line items and which items you weren't doing, which items you were, so we could adjust the invoice and all that good stuff. So that was a big piece that we took out kind of modularly and built around that, because what CapOut does essentially is it's a force multiplying tool for your production department, right? You can upload any Xactimate PDF. It will extract all the information out, restructure it, in the same way it was in the scope of loss. Figure out all of the trade classifications for every line item. So is this a roofing item? Is this a gutter item? Is this interior, exterior, paint, siding, whatnot? And then based on your preferences and your price list, we'll build you a set of material and labor orders, as well as a full profit analysis per trade, so you can know exactly how profitable you are on your roofing, your gutters, your siding, your windows, whatever's on the claim, all in about 60 seconds and from one upload. And, you know, anybody that works inside of any of the popular CRMs, like AccuLynx or JobNimbus or any of them really, you know, their estimate modules, while they're powerful and really good for a retail, company, there's really no workflow automation tools or workflow tools really for insurance claim based contractors, which like 75% of roofs that get replaced are related to an insurance claim. So it's wild that there's not a lot of insurance workflow tools out there. And so that's kind of where we focused in is, you know, being able to basically turn a scope into an actual set of material and labor orders and know exactly whether or not you need to supplement that because you're low profit or whatever the case may be, and just give you situational awareness on the claim. That was really our starting point goal. And obviously we have a roadmap of features and things that we want to, you know, achieve in the coming months, but that's kind of where we're starting.
Nice. Nice. And you said, but 75% of work is insurance. I haven't heard that before. I think it's becoming harder.
Stat.
Yeah.
I saw that stat actually. I think I saw it in a pitch deck of another tech company that, was serving this, business that, got sent to me, and, I haven't verified it or not, but it makes sense, you know, right? Like there's a lot of the roofs that get replaced, are related to, you know, damage of some sort.
Yeah. It's always a event driven, type of business, right? By the weather, really, typically. Obviously it's changed a lot with insurance the last few years, becoming much more difficult, right? That's why I think a lot of roofers are moving into their retail model, right? Because it's less challenging with this, right?
Yeah. There's a lot of people moving into the retail model, and there's a lot of retail folks that don't want anything to do with claims because of what the problem we're solving, right? They don't know. I mean, it took me a couple of years to figure out how to read insurance scopes, right? With any kind of, you know, confidence. They're purposely convoluted, right? They're hard to read. You got, you know, maybe your gutter line items are broken up into four or five sections of the house. And, you know, you've got to do a lot of mental gymnastics to just try and like wrangle the data in there. And a lot of contractors are like, screw that, man. I'm not dealing with that. So yeah, that's why, you know, as claims get harder and more difficult to work, I think it's going to be important for contractors to leverage any kind of tool they can, to kind of give them an edge in making that less overhead intensive inside their company. Right.
And overhead intensive. So typically how much time before cap out, how much time would it cost? Like, would it take to like actually process a claim and order the material?
Yeah. I mean, it's a spectrum, right? It depends on the scope of the work, right? If you're talking about just a normal residential roofing claim, you could spend, I don't know, 15 to 30 minutes on each job going through, let's say AccuLynx, right? Cause that's the one I'm most familiar with. In AccuLynx, you got to set up an estimate template for every product that you could sell someone, right? Like Owens Corning Duration, Owens Corning Oak Ridge, GF Timberline, whatever. You got to set up an estimate template, and that estimate template has to kind of have like every possible material and labor item that could be on a residential roof as an item on that template. And then you go in and delete and fill in quantities that are missing and accessory counts and all that stuff. So there's quite a bit of data entry and manipulation that has to happen just to like set up an estimate template. And that's just for one product. So if you wanted to compare it to another product, you'd have to go through that whole process again with another estimate template. And then you'd have two estimates in your system that you could present to your customer. So yeah, that could take anywhere from 15 to 30 minutes on a larger job. You know, we had an apartment complex we did a few years back. It was a 27 building, a complex. And in each building, there were roof, gutters, windows, and a little bit of siding, window screens and a little bit of siding. It took me like 2.5 days to put that order together when we did that job, because I had other stuff to do. And there's 27 buildings that I had to like open up another spreadsheet, do my takeoff and be like, okay, here's all my roofing items. Here's all my gutter items. Here's all the windows and the siding and all that stuff. You know, you have interruptions and you have other stuff you got to do. It took me a long time. Our system does that in like 6 minutes, right? Like you got to spend some time kind of reviewing some stuff, but I mean, it's like, it's like night and day, right? In that 15 to 30 minute time frame, you can literally upload the scope and have your set of orders to share with your production manager in like 60 to 90 seconds, right? So it also does a lot of the thinking for you, right? It can query, it can question you or the sales rep or whatever on what you sold, or if there's any, you know, weird scenarios on the building, exposed eaves or exposed whatever, so that you can have some of your greener people turn in a production ready packet to production to send out to get ordered and built. So significant time savings for sure.
Can you walk me through that process? You just basically upload the scope, the PDF into the
it starts as a chat screen. You know, very similar to like ChatGPT or something like that. But instead of a chat box, it's a drop zone where you just, you know, drag and drop a PDF in there. Our agents get to work and you see them working and it tells you kind of what step they're on. And in about 30 to 45 seconds, the whole thing's processed and ready for you to review. And then you just review the property owner and claim information, make sure all the details were parsed correctly, that there's no missing phone numbers or whatever, if that's important to you. You go to the next screen and you see all of the line items that are separated and grouped by trade or as they were originally on the scope by room or elevation. So you can kind of view it either way. And you can turn off line items with a simple toggle switch. So if you're not doing the gutters, you can turn off the whole trade and it will adjust the RCV for you and turn off all of the related gutter items. Or you can turn off individual items, whatever you need to do. So once you get done with that, you go to the next step and it produces your orders, material and labor for every trade that you had turned on the previous screen. And so you just review those orders. If you want to compare, it shows you all your price, profit for each trade. So if you got roof, gutters, and windows, it'll show you how profitable you are on each of those with your own pricing, utilized. And yeah, you can adjust those. So if you want to see what a different shingle package looks like, you just change the field shingles and it will change the dependent hip and ridge and starter shingles that go along with it. So you can very quickly see like, oh, this is my profit on an Owens Corning shingle. This is my profit on a CertainTeed shingle. This is my profit on Tamco or whatever you want to do. And then once you finalize it, you just save and continue and it allows you to share it with whoever you want. Or you can download it as a PDF or a CSV and bring that into whatever system you want. We have some integrations on the roadmap as well with some larger CRMs. So eventually you'll be able to bring those back into your CRM with the click of a button.
Oh, that was actually my next question. Do you see this as more of a standalone or working in conjunction, like inside the actual CRMs?
Yeah, we built it kind of as a sidecar solution so that it doesn't require a bunch of change management for you and your team, right? It's you can keep using, as long as you have an API, as long as the CRM you're using has an API that allows, it's not just read-only, right? You can actually write back to the CRM. Then we can potentially integrate with that and get those documents, the orders, the PDFs back into your CRM as an actual purchase or work order.
Got it. And how is this, excuse my ignorance, but like, I haven't heard of SumaQuote, right? Obviously this is different than SumaQuote, but how does it compare versus SumaQuote?
SumaQuote allows you to take measurements, right? Measurement data from an aerial measurement report like Eagle View or Roofer or whatever, and brings in those measurement tokens and then allows you to build out a proposal / estimate, right? So super useful, but it has nothing to do with translating Xactimate line items, right? Tear off and remove composition shingles with no haul off, laminated composition shingle premium grade, right? Those are super generic, like line items, right? Like there's like 200 and something shingle products out there. And so you have like a laminated composition shingle line item from Xactimate. Well, not many roofers know every single product that actually falls within that budget of that line item's pricing. Those are the types of relationships that we've mapped out to where you have this insurance speak, and that's really where a lot of the systems fall apart these days, is they're built for retail roofers. All of these CRMs are built for retail roofers. They're not meant for, or they're not built with insurance workflows in mind. And so there's someone in the company, at every company that does insurance claims, that has to translate the insurance generic line item speak to what actually shows up in the driveway and what you tell your crew to do, right? And all that information lives in the scope. It's not always 100% accurate, but like it's pretty much all there, all your accessory accounts, all your pipe jacks, all your, you know, ventilation counts and all that stuff. It's pretty much always pretty close, right? And, you know, supplements and additions and change orders, that's part of our roadmap that's coming. So it'll really make kind of a comprehensive back office solution that's not meant to replace your CRM. It's really meant to work in conjunction with your CRM so that you don't have to completely overhaul your company's systems and processes. It's a nice complimentary addition.
Got it. So, and I'm trying to see the picture. Like, so you would ideally, in an ideal world, that would work in conjunction with your CRM, with the software like SumoQuo or measurement tool. And then at the end of the day, like, you, the customer, right, the end user, the homeowner, would see the actual proposal, including all the actual items from the claim, right? Like the actual, like, one proposal with everything included. You can see, hey, this is what's included into the insurance, this is what's the estimate, this is what the material is called, everything like that. And all that in one package, just to make it super simple. Is that what you're envisioning?
Yeah, I mean, SumoQuo is more of like a front-end sales and marketing kind of tool where, you know, you're able to...
I'm not saying SumoQuo, it could be like any CRM, where it's like included into the actual proposal plus the actual insurance information. Is that what it is?
Yeah. We're all speaking the same language once it gets translated from insurance speak to real world speak. So think of CapOut as like a translator, right? It is really at the core is what it does. It maps all of the material and labor items to, you know, like a quick example, right? In Xactimate, their labor cost of each line item, it's done by man hours. I don't know a roofer at all that pays their crews in by the hour, right? Unless they're an in-house crew. You pay them by the square. And so, like, that's just one example of how, you know, you have to kind of like translate the actual cost associated with a line item in Xactimate to what actually gets ordered, right? And so, yeah.
And you mentioned last time we spoke about a case study, right? You had an order that your AI agent processed over 662 line items, right? That it usually take 22 and a half days. They did it in 6 minutes. Can you talk more about that?
Yeah. I mean, it's really as simple as uploading the PDF and letting the product do its magic, right? It goes through, it parsed all of those items and extracted all of those items, understood the context within which they were, you know, grouped originally, right? Building one, building two, building three, all the way down to building 27. And gave me a very clear picture when we loaded in the system, gave me a very clear picture. Okay, you have $662,000 of roofing and you have, you know, $200,000 of gutters and $62,000 of window screens or whatever it was, right? It did that all in a matter of seconds. That, you know, took me a couple of days with a spreadsheet trying to like extract all that stuff out in between meetings and phone calls and interruptions and all that good stuff. And then I spent the next few minutes just going through the line items and making sure everything was correct. There was a couple that we had to kind of like move around and edit, but you know, 6 minutes versus 2 days, like that's a, it's a big delta.
Yeah. Yeah. Awesome. Awesome. How do you see AI helping contractors prioritize the most profitable jobs rather than the biggest ones?
Yeah, no, that's great. Great question. That was another, you know, feedback kind of feature that we receive from contractors is, and noticing how they handled jobs when we were dealing with them at SquareDash is, you know, they would, for what a variety of reasons, right, place jobs higher in the queue of production because they liked the customer better, or it was a higher dollar amount, or it, whatever reason, maybe they liked the shingles better, so they wanted to do that first, or who knows. What they really should be doing is prioritizing the most profitable jobs and building those first, right? Regardless of the numbers, we're not here to throw big revenue numbers on the board. We're here to make a profitable business. And so, you know, being able to feed a scope into our system and within 60 seconds, it tells you exactly how profitable you are based on your cost structure across all of the trades on that scope, allows you very quickly to make a decision. Like, do we need to supplement this? Is this like wildly off? Is this within our profit threshold? That's another setting within our system, is you can set your target profit threshold. So maybe you're aiming for 30% profit on each job and you have an ideal profit margin of like 37% or 40%, right? So you can see very quickly each trade is color coded, right? If your target is 30, if it's 31, it's going to be kind of like in the yellow range. If it's 38, you're going to be in the green range. If it's 29, you're going to be red. So it's very easy visual cues for you to know, like, oh crap, like there's something going on with this job. The roof isn't great, but all the other trades are profitable, or vice versa. The roof is really profitable, but none of the other trades are. Let's approach this with the homeowner a little differently, or let's handle this a little differently. Let's build this one first, or whatever the case may be. So that situational awareness of where you are from a profit standpoint on these claims, it does a really good job of giving you a very clear answer very quickly.
That's awesome. That's really awesome because it gives you an idea of what to focus on, right? And I think that's a big issue with a lot of contractors is understanding their numbers at the back end. Right. That is the thing. Cause a lot of you can actually lose money if you do a job sometimes, a lot of times actually.
Of course. And like, if you agree to do, I don't know, I pick on window screens a lot because there's no profit in them ever. Right. Like the window screen guys, they charge about what insurance pays for. So, you know, if you're not going to make any money on the window screens, you should probably try and like back out of that with the customer and say, you know what? We don't really specialize in window screens. But I can give you the number of a guy that'll take care of it for you, right? And that way, when it gets to the end of the job and your window screen guy's got a month-long backlog, you're not holding up the $5,000 depreciation check because you haven't replaced $300 worth of window screens yet, right? And so like that kind of stuff, knowing what's good and what's bad on a claim is super critical in order to make sound decisions on how to push that to production. And a lot of times it's being left in the hands of salespeople who want their commission. And so they're just trying to like make the customer happy or whatever the case may be. So the lack of that information or the lack of that situational awareness allows that to happen versus having that situational awareness where a manager or someone, you know, can step in and say, hey, time out. What's going on with this claim? Let's approach this differently.
Yeah. And the thing is to keep in mind is a lot of salespeople are with a lot of commission structures in the roofing space, especially it's, you know, they give you like a split, right? 50-50 or whatever of the profit. That could really damage you if you don't know their numbers, right? You could really
100%. Hurt you, right? Like if you, and I'll pick on gutters this time, right? Because gutters are always wrong on the scope because the insurance carrier or the adjuster, you know, they're going off the eagle view and they're just counting the eaves and maybe they give you, you know, whatever length for the downspouts. And so there's always, you know, let's call it a 10 to 20% variance in the linear footage that the carrier paid for. And then when your gutter guy actually went out and measured and got all the miters and the inside and outside corners and all the, you know, downspout extensions and all that stuff might end up being an extra $500 of cost that you weren't accounting for. And so a lot of salespeople, you know, they get to the back end, get capped out on the back end. They're like, whoa, this isn't what I was expecting. And it's like, well, the gutters weren't quite as profitable as we thought they were. And they ate into your commission. Sorry.
Yeah. What are some of your favorite automation tools? You mentioned N8N and also Manus as some of your tools.
Yeah,
you
use N8N is a great visual workflow builder. It does require some technical expertise. So this goes back to like educating yourself, being aware of the tools that are out there and then being able to find people that can come in and kind of help you build those things out. But it's a very powerful tool that allows you to connect almost any tool and any, you know, API endpoint. It is super powerful to build out really granular automations that are super relevant to your business. So it's a really powerful tool. We use it a lot in customer success and in our marketing department, automating replies, you know, hooking that up to language models and actually having it reply like a human instead of just some canned response to people. So there's a lot of cool stuff you can do with that. Manus is it's a powerhouse agent. So you think ChatGPT, right? ChatGPT 5 Pro, I believe, has a bit of like deep thinking kind of agentic type stuff in it. But Manus is, really its sole purpose is to be an agent. So think of it, think of ChatGPT as like your Siri knowledge base, like, you know, super smart person that you can go and ask any question. Manus is used when you need it to do something, right? You need it to be really smart and answer your questions, but you also need it to go do stuff, mainly research or strategy or thinking. It can surf the internet. It'll open up virtual browser sessions and actually go visit sites and extract data off the website. So you can do, you know, really powerful market research. I think I witnessed Adam Sand a few months ago, you know, doing a property research, market research for one of his roofing clients where it was like, go find me all of the properties that fit XYZ criteria that were built within the last, you know, time frame of this. And, you know, don't have roofing permits pulled or whatever. And, you know, it can go pull that information from available sources. So it's super powerful. I use it a lot for strategic thinking and planning inside the business to just help me kind of brainstorm things. It's a really great first draft maker of stuff that could normally take like months to do.
Yeah. I use it all. I use both those tools a lot. So I use Claude a lot. And one thing I do is basically I kind of use ChatGPT as a starting point, as the engine. And then I implement some of the prompts and then into Manus to help build out whatever I'm building out. And I built out, you know, presentations, I built out workflows, automations. You can use it to recruit people actually. So you can give Manus, hey, so here's a, I want to look for a sales director, right? Here are the characteristics. I use ChatGPT as the tool to actually, it's going to give me the actual prompt and the actual description, right? Based on my research and data. And then I give that to Manus to kind of start finding those people and give in a spreadsheet. Don't give it to you in a spreadsheet if you do that, right? So that's kind of the powerful way to use it. I highly recommend it. It's not free, right? You have to pay for it. It's like, I think, it's based on credits. But I mean, if you're tech savvy, most countries are not tech savvy, but if you are a little bit, then definitely I recommend start using these products because it really is the wave of the future and it's really changing a lot of things.
Yeah. If you're an idea person, I would say that's probably the best place to get started is like whenever you have an idea, right? Like as entrepreneurs, we always have ideas floating through our head. Like it's a great place to like put those ideas in there and then ask it to do something on that, right? Like research this for me, give me a feasibility study. Tell me if this is a good idea or not, whatever the case may be. That's kind of more of like an open, broad kind of like starting point for a lot of people. But if you've kind of gotten past that point, then yeah, you can use it like you're talking about where you actually like put a chain, like an ensemble together where you're starting in one, you're telling that one to like, hey, give me a really well-structured prompt that I can take into this other system and have it do research for me or whatever. And it'll give you kind of that starting point where you can take it over there. And I think another good call out to say, and maybe I already said it earlier, but like, well, I did say it earlier, but you know, just because these tools exist, if you really want to build like powerful systems, I'm not talking about just like doing research projects and kind of putting stuff together. That's kind of a DIY type thing. But if you really want to dive into like an N8N or, you know, automating your business, you're still going to need technical, like kind of professional help from someone that's done this before and understands API endpoints and all that stuff. There's like a misconception out there that like, oh, AI can do anything, right? Like it can help you do anything, right? Like it can help you do a lot of things. But you still have to have someone in control of that. And I think that's important for contractors that are evaluating AI for in their business. Cause a lot of employees and a lot of even maybe employers fear the human replacement aspect of this, right? Like our tool is not meant to replace anybody. It might prolong your need to hire the next production manager, but it's meant to like be a force multiplier for the production manager that you have or whoever's doing production. It's meant to 5x, 10x your output ability that can eventually bring cost savings as you grow. But there's not a tool that I'm aware of that's out there that's just going to like completely replace the key man in your business that does whatever it is you're talking about.
I think that's important to make a point because ChatGPT came out over 2 years ago, 2.5 years ago at this point. And the fears, I think, are overblown, right? In terms of, hey, it's going to replace all that and this. And really, this is my opinion on it, is that I think it's going to be more like the internet was in the 90s, right? The internet had a huge impact on the world, right? Where things changed. Industries were definitely obsolete. A lot of industries became obsolete over time. And you know, it added new companies and a lot of people made money and all that stuff, but it didn't really fundamentally change like everything. I think that's my opinion. It's going to happen. It's more of the internet kind of aspect. It's not going to be it's going to replace entire industries. I might be wrong about this.
I'm sure there's some low hanging fruit out there. Like there's some really call centers, call centers, stuff like that. Like there's definitely industries that are already being impacted by this. But, you know, I think we're still quite a ways from, the internet example is a great example, right? Like before that, it was very hard to access information. You know, the yellow books were still a thing, right? You had to have maps in your car if you were going to be driving around a new city or whatever, you know, like, So while it's going to replace certain things and certain modalities and certain methodologies that you use to do certain things, it's not going to replace humans altogether, right? Like there's not going to be like a one-man roofing company that's doing $100 million a year because he uses AI, right? But, you know, it can definitely increase your efficiency in the business and help you achieve economies of scale quicker, for sure. But I think it's important to like not have this fantasy in your head that if you find that right consultant and if y'all, you know, jam out on this for, you know, 2 or 3 months, that you're just going to be able to completely automate your business and you're just going to be able to like sip martinis, you know, on the beach somewhere. Maybe martinis on the beach is not a good example. Mai Tais on the beach, but yeah, it's just not, that's just not the case.
Yeah. How do you get, cause this is a challenge that I had myself. How do you get your employees to start adapting and using AI?
You have to give them some quick wins, right? Like you have to use it yourself. You have to be a practitioner, right? You can't just be like, hey, go research this AI thing and figure out how to use it in our business. You got to go figure it out, right? Like you got to go play with it, toy with it, or someone in your business does. And I would say like build a proof of concept, right? Like whatever it is you're trying to achieve, like just build a small thing to where you can show, like use the nail gun example, right? If you're on a roof with a guy that hand nails everything and you're like, bro, check this out, right? Like that's a quick win. He's like, oh crap, I can do this in a fraction of the time and still charge my same rate. Yay. Right. And so I think that's talking to some mentors of mine that are in private equity that, you know, because I asked them the same thing, like, how do you roll up a company and like combine, you know, 2 or 3 companies that are all on different platforms and whatever. And, you know, it's kind of a slow implementation over time, but you got to start with like some quick low hanging fruit, easy wins for your team to build belief in your vision. And then you can kind of go from there.
Got it. You said the typical CRM is becoming obsolete. What do you think the next generation of software is going to look like for contractors?
Yeah, I think the traditional CRUD type SaaS products, CRUD being, create, read, update, and delete, right? Like the typical just relational database software is going to get pretty stale in the coming years, right? People are going to start discovering new ways to interface with software. Voice is probably the easiest, thing to point out, right? Just being able to say, hey, what invoices do we have that I need to have you focus on this week to collect, right? And just interface with it like you would a normal employee versus logging in, going to the table that data lives in, setting up your filters, filtering it and looking for the data. You just be like, hey, give me text me a report of outstanding invoices that are 90 days old, right? Like whatever. And just have it do that for you and have a system that's working in the back end. Like I think that type of interface is what's going to change the most in software. So I'm not calling for the death of any CRM, certainly not, right? Like you're always going to need like a system of record, but I think the way that people expect to interact with those systems is definitely going to change.
Yeah, yeah. How will AI and automation reshape the roofing and restoration industry over the next 5 or 10 years?
You know, I think a lot of contractors out there, we touched on it earlier, really focused on the front end of the business, getting more customers. And I think AI has the most potential impact on the back end of the business. And I know a lot of the AI tools that are out right now are like phone answering services and, you know, lead nurturing and kind of customer touch points type stuff. That's kind of the easy low hanging fruit features to add right now, because it just relies on like language models with, you know, a prompt that kind of gives it some context, right? And you can hook up knowledge bases to it. So you can have it very knowledgeable about, you know, your business and what you sell and what you do and how you do it and all that stuff to be able to like talk with customers. However, I don't think homeowners and customers are there yet. They don't want to talk to bots. Some of them will, some of them won't. I don't think that's going to be the most impactful area for AI, because now you're getting to like the ownership of your customer relationship. Like who owns that relationship? Is it a robot or is it an actual human? And I think for a while, we're going to be in the human, you know, preferential era of this. I think the back end of the business, you know, forming certificates of completion, putting invoices together, sending bills out, the dunning that's required to collect those bills, right? Who's writing the emails? Who's making the phone calls? Who's sending the text messages? Whatever. Who's writing your supplements? Who's ordering your materials? Who's paying payroll? Who's calculating all that stuff that has to happen, right? Like that's all the back end of the business. And those are the types of tasks that AI think is really geared to do, because they don't, they can happen. They already happen behind the scenes, right? Your customer has no idea what's going on at your roofing company. All they know is it's taking you forever to, you know, respond back to them or build their job or whatever the case may be. And claim has been open forever. Why is this not closed? They don't have any idea what's going on behind the scenes. So I think those are probably the areas that are probably going to be impacted the most.
Can you give me one example of like a automation that you built out that any contractor can start doing right away that's going to save them time?
Our automations and contractor automations are a little different now that I'm kind of on the tech side of things. But I think an easy place to start is customer. I think ProLine's done a really great job of implementing customer service type agents in their product. I know Job Nimbus also has the I forgot what they call it, but it's like the phone assistant that'll answer calls after hours. I think those are good places to start for contractors. But in order to build out impactful automations for your business, I was watching Andy Keys and some of his content. He talks a lot about it and really focuses on, you got to map out your entire customer journey, right? Like, you should have a Miro or a whiteboard or something that from door knock to warranty delivery, every step of your process should be mapped out in detail, right? And by doing that, you'll be able to identify like, oh, we could probably automate that. Or, you know, do we really need someone like focused on this? Like, how can we put that into an N8N workflow? And right. And like, but I would say start with your customer journey map. That's like super important. It's kind of like the blueprints of a house. You wouldn't start building without them. I would say that's like step one. And I don't want to speak to like, you know, what's an easy automation for you to make, because it really depends on your customer journey and how you do things.
Yeah. Love it. Love it. I love that. Something that anybody can start doing right away. And it puts you in a way to actually address and understand really what your customers are feeling, because it's very important how they feel throughout the 100%. Process.
And only right? You know that, right? Like only like a consultant's not going to be able to come into your business and know every time that, like, if you say this in a text message, is going to blow up the deal or whatever the case may be, right? Like, you know your customers, you know your sales team, you know your back office team. So you know how you do things and how, you know, how it should work, right? And everybody's just a little bit different. And I think that's the challenge that a lot of these CRM companies, this is why you see Facebook threads multiple a week. What CRMs everybody using? And it just turns into a 200 comment Ford and Chevy pissing match where everybody's just saying why theirs is the best. And there's always going to be a gap. Like, there's always going to be something missing, because as much as we rely on them in this industry, these CRMs don't actually like automate anything for you. Maybe they automate like some text messages and some email communications and things like that, but they don't actually do any work for you. It's just like fancier buckets to keep all your data in.
Yeah, that's a common challenge, is because it's a very common question. That is for me, that would be very frustrating if I owned a CRM company. Well, not really frustrating, it's just understanding, because for me, it is frustrating because you keep hearing the same questions and over, but it's pretty simple. They just have to do a click research. Hey, who is the best CRM? And do some research before even asking.
Yeah. Yeah, that's true. But I think, you know, who is it? Adam Sand and Jonathan Bros and a couple other people have done a really good job of jumping in those conversations and be like, hold up, time out. Before anybody can answer what is the best CRM, you got to go back to your customer journey. Like, what kind of business are you? How do you operate? What is your process? What are you looking to get out of it? Right. Like, because if one thing is really important to you, then like there might be a CRM choice that's not the best for you because it doesn't even do that, or it doesn't do it well, or something else does it better. And so it's kind of like a game of whack-a-mole, right? But like, it all kind of starts with mapping out your customer journey and understanding like what your process even is before you can answer like, what CRM should I use?
Yeah. Yeah. What advice would you give contractors who feel overwhelmed by all the technology, new technology and AI tools that are coming out?
Oh yeah. I mean, it is overwhelming. Like, there's a lot. I'm a chronic sharer of social media things. I'm on X, like way an unhealthy amount. I'm on X, but that's where all the alpha is, man. That's like where all the good stuff is, all the new tools that come out. All the thought leaders in the tech space, they're not on Facebook. They're not on, I mean, maybe they're on LinkedIn, but like they're on Twitter or X. And so my team always, they give me a hard time, because like, it'll be like 9 o'clock and I'll be reading an article or something. And I'll be like, look, check this out. Send it to my data scientist or whatever. And he's like, dude, it's like 9:30. Yeah, they stopped responding to me at some point. But every now and then the nugget gets through to them. But yeah, I mean, you know, it's as contractors, you got to remember, like, keep the main thing, right? Like, you sell roofs, you sell a service delivery, you're in the service delivery business. And so I think it's important, I'm going to keep going back to it, is to map out your customer journey, right? Because mapping out your customer journey, it gives you kind of a reference point of like, what should be important to your business, right? Like, by mapping it out, by putting it all on paper, you can see like, oh yeah, I keep forgetting about this step. Like, this is like buried between like three interactions with a customer, but it's important that it happens. That will give you a better idea of kind of like where you should focus in on any of these tools that you see. And so, you know, you just got to kind of separate the flashy entertainment value of like learning about new tools, because I love learning about new stuff. And separating that from like the practical application, like, does this actually have a place in my business, and not getting the two confused, because that can happen easily too.
Yeah, I'm sure it's frustrating for a lot of employees, right? Because a lot of entrepreneurs, I'm the same thing you just said. I'm in the same exact way. I see something, I share it with my team. I'm always looking for new ideas. Most employees are not like that at all. They want to, like, they're not looking for new ideas. It might be overwhelming for employees. I think for entrepreneurs, they want the new information. They want to start right away. But it can be difficult for any entrepreneur, any contractor too, just to implement. So my suggestion is just start simple. Like, start with ChatGPT, start with simple things, and then get your team to start like implementing those. And then eventually you can get more complicated, right? Once you kind of learn the systems.
Yeah. Yeah. As entrepreneurs, we have like squirrel brain.
ADD.
And it's just like, you know, we're terrible students, but we're terrible students in school, but we're incredible students of the world, right? Because we like to take in a lot of information, and we have the bandwidth to, like, you know, have it go in, file it away in some random, you know, file cabinet, and then access it when needed. A lot of employees, they want stability in their job, and they bring that stability ethos into everything that they do. They don't look outside of like what they're there to do between the hours of 9 and 5 to like achieve their goal and be a good, you know, be good at that role that you've put them in. And so, yeah, it can be incredibly distracting, almost like dangerous to kind of like put too much of your fractal brain into the very focused brains of your employees, unless they have that too.
Yeah, yeah. What's your vision for CapOut AI in the next few years? And how can contractors get early access to the platform?
Yeah, yeah, for sure. You know, I want to have a set of tools that actually returns contractors' most valuable resource, which is their time. As a contractor myself, I spent way too much time wearing way too many hats for way too long. And it was because I didn't either trust people, I didn't trust our systems, and I just, you know, wanted to do it myself. I think what we're focused on is giving contractors back their time. That's like our mission, is to just give them back their time, so that they can focus on things that they're good at. They can focus on things that they need to do to grow the business, to hire better, you know, attract more talent, expand into different markets. You can't do all that when you're worried about, you know, the window screens on Mrs. Jones's claim, right? Like, you shouldn't be that close to it if you're really trying to grow your business. So that's what we want to do. We want to build tools that help insurance claim based contractors and retail ones too. But really give contractors a set of tools that were meant for insurance claim, workflows, and have that plug into the existing systems that they already use. So that's kind of the roadmap and the vision of what we want to do. And there's lots of things that we can do along that journey, because the back office of a roofing company is, you know, a deep hole that you can jump off into. As far as finding out about us, you can go to capout.ai. That's our website. There's a request invite. We're currently in our beta phase right now, so you can request an invite. It's probably going to be free through the end of the year until we get done with our beta program. You can also find us on all the social channels. We have a Facebook group called AI and Roofing in the Trades that you can join, where I kind of do my best to share on a regular basis tools and tricks and news and all that stuff that's relevant to our industry and this new technology.
Awesome. Hey, Matt. Awesome. Thank you for talking with me. I really appreciate your conversation. I learned a lot. Oh, it was great having you.
Yeah, thanks for inviting me on. I really appreciate it.
Awesome.
Thanks for listening to AI and Marketing for Home Service Pros. If you got value from today's episode, do us a favor. Follow the show, share it with a contractor friend, and leave a quick review. Want help using AI or smarter marketing to grow your business? Head to contractormarketingpros.net and book your free strategy call.